Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fode, and this Best of Authors on Tour podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
This chapter is called Searching for a Bride. My son Nico had become very handsome. He was wearing his hair long like an apostle, and his features had become more accentuated. Large, sultry eyes, aristocratic nose, square chin, elegant hands. It was inexplicable to me that there weren't a dozen women chasing after him. Behind Willie's back, he doesn't understand these matters, my friend Tabra and I decided to look for a girlfriend for Nico. In India and in many other places in the world, marriages are arranged. There are fewer divorces than in the Western countries, Tabra explained. That doesn't prove that they are happy, only that they have to put up with more, I contended. Oh, the system works fine. Marrying for love is problematic. It's more successful to unite two compatible persons who, with time, would learn to love one another, she said. It's a little risky, but I don't have a better idea, I admitted. It isn't easy to make these arrangements in California, as she herself had proved for years. None of the matchmaking agencies had found a man that was worth her while. One year she had 150 dates, and none passed the first cup of coffee. In view of the negative results obtained by Tabra, I didn't want to put ads in the newspapers or go to agencies. That seemed a little indiscreet in view of the fact that I hadn't as yet consulted Nico. I devoted myself to looking for potential sweethearts everywhere I went. And in the process, my eye grew sharper. I made inquiries among people I knew. I scrutinized the young women who asked for my autograph in bookstores. I even brazenly stopped a pair of girls in the street, but that method was inefficient. At that pace, Nico would be 70 and still a bachelor. I studied women and in the end would discard them for different motives, serious or tedious, talkative or shy, smokers or macrobiotic fiends, dressed like my mother or with a tattoo of the Virgin of Guadalupe on their backs. This was for my son. The choice could not be made frivolously. I was beginning to lose hope when Tabra introduced me to Amanda, a photographer and writer who wanted to make a trip with me to the Amazon for a travel magazine. Amanda was very interesting and beautiful, but she was married and planned to have children very soon. She wasn't, unfortunately, a good candidate for my romantic designs. However, during our conversation, the subject of my son came up. Amanda told me she knew the ideal girl, Lori Barra. Lori was her best friend. She had a generous heart. She had no children. She was pretty, refined, a graphic designer from New York who now lived in San Francisco. She had an obnoxious boyfriend, according to Amanda, but we would find a way to get rid of him and leave Lori available to meet Nico. Not so fast, I said. First, I need to know the girl. Amanda organized a lunch, and I took my granddaughter Andrea with me. At the time, she was 5. It seemed to me that at least the young designer ought to have a vague idea of what she was taking on. Of the 3 children, Andrea was without doubt the most peculiar. My granddaughter came dressed like a beggar, with pink rags tied around different parts of her body, a straw hat with faded flowers, and her Save the Tuna doll. I was on the verge of dragging her somewhere to buy a more presentable outfit, but I decided that it was best for Lori to know her in her natural state. Amanda had said nothing to her friend about our plans, nor I to Nico. We didn't want to alarm them. The lunch in the Japanese restaurant was a good strategy. It didn't raise Lori's suspicion. She wanted to meet us only because she loved Tabra's jewelry. This is Tabra's jewelry. And she had read a couple of my books, 2 points in her favor. Tabra and I were very impressed with her. She was a calm pool of simplicity and charm. Andrea observed her without saying a word as she tried in vain to get pieces of raw fish in her mouth with chopsticks. You don't get to know a person in 1 hour, Tabra warned me afterward. She's perfect. She even looks like Nico. They're both tall, slim, handsome, have noble bones, and they wear black. They look like twins, I said. Looking like twins isn't the basis of a good marriage. Look, Tabra, in India they have horoscopes, and let's say that isn't very scientific either, I answered. We need to know more about her. We have to see her in difficult circumstances, she insisted. You mean like a war? Well, that would be ideal. But they are all pretty far away. Why don't we invite her to go with us to the Amazon? Tabra suggested. And that was how Lori, who had seen us only once over a plate of sushi, ended up flying with us to Brazil in the role of Amanda's assistant. The Amazon was the perfect stressful trip we needed. We even saw a guy being murdered 10 feet away from where we were standing. 5 bullets in the head. Lori survived and passed all the tests. So when we came back, I invited her to have dinner and introduced Nico and the other 2 children who, compared with Andrea, seemed bland. I had told Lori that Nico was still angry about the divorce and it would not be easy for him to find a partner, since no woman in her right senses would want a man with 3 runny-nosed kids. To Nico, I commented in passing that I had met the ideal woman for him, but since she was older than he was and already had a boyfriend of sorts, we would have to keep looking. I think that's up to me, he replied, smiling, but a shadow of panic flashed across his face. During dinner, Lori and Nico did not exchange a single word. They didn't even look at each other. I thought we had failed miserably. But a month later, my son confessed that he had been out with Lori several times. I can't understand how he kept that from me for a whole month. Are you two in love? I asked. I think that's a little premature, he replied with his habitual caution. Love is never premature, particularly at your age, Nico. I'm only 30. 30, you say? But it was only yesterday that you were breaking bones on your skateboard and firing eggs at people with your slingshot. The years fly by, son. There's no time to lose. Years later, Amanda told me that the day after Nico met Lori, my son planted himself at the door of her office building with a yellow rose in his hand, and when finally she came out to go to lunch and found him standing there like a post in the sun, Nico told her that he was just passing by. Soon the man Lori was having an affair with, a rather famous travel photographer, quietly disappeared beyond the horizon. She was able to leave him with no sense of guilt when Amanda and other friends took on the task of ridiculing him and praising the real and imaginary virtues of Nico. When she bid the photographer farewell, he told her not to show up at any of the places where they had been together. I remember the moment when Nico and Lori's love was made public. One Saturday, he left the children with us. In their mind, there was nothing better than sleeping with their grandparents and stuffing themselves with sweets and television. And Nico came to pick them up on Sunday morning. One look at his scarlet ears, the color they get when he wants to hide something from me, and it was clear to me that he had spent the night with Lori. And knowing him, that things were getting serious. 3 months later, they were living together. As a matchmaker, I'm very proud to say that they have been together for 11 very happy years. And this one here is Lori. This one here is Lori. She runs my foundation. We are best friends, and she's traveling with me. But she's not here today because she's fed up with listening to the same thing over. And the handsome guy next to her is, of course, my son.
That's all for this Best of Authors on Tour podcast. I'm Darren Fode, and this podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.